Hello and welcome to Nintendo Podcast System with myself, Matthew Gibson, and joining me as usual is Sam Barnes, but joining us is Al-K from the Mystery Gift Podcast.
Hello!
Hello guys!
So as I said, Al-K, you are from the Mystery Gift Podcast, so why don't you tell the people that may have not listened to the show before what you are all about and what you do?
Well, the Mystery Gift Podcast is a podcast that's quite new. We only just recorded our third episode. We are a bi-weekly podcast. I do the show together with Seb, the other host, and we talk about a few different things. There's random news that is interesting that happened in the world. Funny, interesting things that happened to us recently. And we also, every episode, we discuss an anime that we've been watching recently. And then at the end of the episode, we name the anime that we'll be discussing in the next one so that the listeners can then watch it with us for the next episode.
Interesting. That's cool.
So what was the anime that you recommended? Well, depending on when this goes up, what you are recommending, can you give a sneak peek, or is that something to wait until the actual episode?
Let's see, we just recorded the podcast for Mahou Shoujo Madoka Magica.
Okay.
And the next one, I don't actually remember the full Japanese name because it doesn't have an English translation.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it's, well, I like your podcast because the only podcasts I listen to are, you know, Nintendo related, if not just gaming related in general. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see like a mix between the two, between anime and gaming. I think that's quite cool. As well as the fact that like it's around about like half an hour each episode, isn't it?
Yeah, we aim to get 30-40 minutes each episode. Yeah.
Which is good for me because I have like a lot of stuff to listen to. So even though I wouldn't mind a longer episode, it's always nice just to get a good dose of it in compared to other podcasts in a shorter time. So it's nice having a length of that podcast, unlike our podcast, which normally goes over 2 hours.
Well, thank you.
For ages. Anyway, it's a great podcast, so please check out the Mystery Gift Podcast. I believe it's on YouTube, iTunes and Podomatic, right?
Yeah, iTunes, Podomatic and on SoundCloud.
Ah, that's it. That's the other one. Alright, before we head into the news, why don't you tell what the intro music this week was?
The intro music was from Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright. It's the cornered music, but specifically the Spellbreaker version of that tune.
I think that has to be my favourite corner themes from all the Phoenix Wright games I've played, I'd have to say. Actually, just before we move on, because we forgot to do this on our super episode, which we'll talk about a bit later, we forgot to mention where Jack was at the time of recording. So people may have been confused on where he was. Jack, even though he is back from his holiday in Barcelona, he is recovering from his holiday, so he cannot join us today. Yeah, it is quite sad. But nevertheless, we will press on and hopefully deliver a podcast that still retains great quality. That didn't feel comfortable to say. I don't know why. It just felt a bit weird. Alright, and with that, let's move on to the next section. So, this is the news section right now. Just first of all, in case you've been living under a rock, there was a Nintendo Direct that happened recently. It was focused entirely on the Nintendo 3DS. Happened on the 1st of September. Myself, Sam, and Matthew Williams, who's been on the show a good couple of times before, we basically did a rundown of everything shown off in the Direct. I feel I may have mispronounced that, I'm not too sure. But basically, we just run our thoughts through all the games shown, and I'll just give our general thoughts. So, I thought it would be a really thing if we just give a quick summary of our thoughts on the direct in general, as well as our highlights.
The direct for me, I really enjoyed it. I mean, obviously, you can go and listen to our Super Nintendo podcast and hear my more in-depth thoughts. But I think my main highlight was those Legend of Zelda amiibos. They look so good.
Those are pretty much my thoughts as well. It's a pretty good direct. There were some like mixed reactions, namely with the Mario Maker for Nintendo 3DS. I thought that was a bit mixed, because on one hand it's quite smart because it's popular, and it's Mario Maker, so people will like it because it's Mario. Mm. Mario's always a good title, but it's the thing that I'm sad about is that it's kind of taking away from what made the Wii U version so great, and kind of takes away that Wii U exclusivity. I have trouble pronouncing my words like a lot. People should have realised by now if they've been listening to the podcast for a long time. But yeah, I have to say my highlight as well was those Zelda amiibo, which just look great.
And that they work with Breath of the Wild.
Yeah,
and
they
I
will
can't
be
wait
working
to see what they do.
Amiibo. They will be working with Breath of the Wild. So, okay, what did you think of the Direct as well?
I agree with the both of you that it was quite a good Nintendo Direct. Some interesting news. I'm not entirely sure about how both Super Mario Maker and Pikmin would work on the 3DS.
Yeah.
I've not played Pikmin too much, but I'm really wondering how this a slightly new way of doing Pikmin will work on the 3DS.
Well, hopefully it's not the Pikmin 4 Mr. Miyamoto was referring to last year. Because if that does end up being the Pikmin 4 he was talking about, I feel like that's going to like a lot of people angry. But the thing is, that's launching out in 2017, whereas Miyamoto said that it was near completion by around this time last year. So hopefully it will be for the NX, hopefully.
We'll just have to wait and find out.
We'll just have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. So that was basically the Direct. Check it out on Nintendo's YouTube channels if you haven't already, or check out Super Nintendo Podcast System as well. Moving on, earlier that week, Nintendo revealed, or rather Nintendo of America announced on their Facebook page that they will be bringing a new Nintendo 3DS XL for North America, and it's Galaxy themed, more specifically New Galaxy themed. I think a lot of people were like taking this as like a hint for a Mario Galaxy game. And I was just saying, it's like, even though that is likely, and that's what I would have preferred. I would prefer a Mario Galaxy themed instead of just generic purple. I think it was just that. It was just generic Galaxy themed 3DS XL. And I don't think I've seen one person on the internet be like, I want to get that. Which is fair enough, because it just doesn't really look all that inspired. Like, it looks alright.
Let's hope somebody likes purple in space.
Let's hope.
Yeah, I can't say I'm super excited for it. And I'm not a big fan of the color purple anyway, so no way that I'm buying it. Sorry, yeah. Nintendo.
Yeah, pass on that one.
Well, I think it's only out in North America, so we won't be seeing it anytime soon. But I think if they had to bring out something, it would have to be because in Japan they had a Super Famicom themed Nintendo 3DS. They even came out with a SNES themed home theme as well. So it would have been really nice to just see that over here in the West. But we get New Galaxy theme, which doesn't even reference Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, come on, we need more Rosalina in our lives.
I think they are showing a lot of Rosalina love though lately in Mario games.
What if there would be a Nintendo 3DS XL design with Rosalina, but then she's holding a little baby Rosalina?
What?
Just imagination.
Yeah, there's always a possibility,
I guess. I think like I'd Oh, I don't know. It could be a possibility. I'm not too sure, though.
Matt, think about it. The game, it, like, time and space get ripped apart, and she becomes this giant Rosalina floating in a void with Mario. So
do you mean the Luma?
Yeah, I didn't mean the Luma, but I was thinking, second, as I said it, Rosalina does always have a Luma, so maybe due to the time and space distortions, Luma sort of gets this half connection with the physical connection with Rosalina and is able to transform into Rosalina's past self. Plot for a new galaxy.
Shown on a Nintendo 3DS screen, right. Alright, here comes a bit of sad news. Two indie games which I've been looking forward to. Sam has been looking very forward to another one. First of which is Shantae and the Half-Genie... Well, not and half. Just Shantae, Half-Genie Hero has been delayed by 6 weeks. even though the actual content, gameplay-wise, has been completed, they are taking the 6 weeks to fix all the bugs, or potential bugs, rather, and just add polish to the game. And I think this applies, pardon me, to both versions of the game.
Yeah, I'm sad to see them delayed by 6 weeks, but I'd rather, like you say, let them fix the bugs than have, like, a sonic boom of Shantae. I'm like,
oh, God, no.
So, I can wait another 6 weeks. I think, I'm sure, like, everybody else...
A lot recently, I'm just, like, just kind of thankful because I'm just have a lot of games to play. So, it's just, like, true. I just want to continue with my backlog. Till I get that done. Right. And then the other one is Assault Striker Gunvolt Striker Pack, which involves both the first and second game in the series. It will be coming out for retail, and that has been delayed by a week from, or at least just under a week. It's been delayed from 29th of September to the 4th of October. However, if you do want to get your hands on Assault Striker Gunvolt 2, that will still be released on the 29th of September.
Wait, how does that make sense? Why is the second one being released before the first one?
Because it's a digital release, whereas the Striker Pack is a physical retail. So I'm not too sure why the physical is getting delayed. I'm not too sure. I think it's something just with the packaging or something. I'm not too sure. But that's the story with that. But as I said, like, I just want to continue with my backlog. I am getting one game for my birthday, and that is Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE, and I'll probably get money to get other games as well. But right now, I'm just kind of happy that, like, I don't have to worry too much about stuff. Our next piece of news here. Metroid Prime Federation Force completely bombs in Japan.
That's no understatement. That is... It seriously did.
So
it was an inevitability coming.
We will have to wait to see how it did in the UK, because it just launched over here. This has been recorded on the 4th, and we have to wait until tomorrow to see how games have performed in the last week over here in the UK. But in Japan, it didn't even make the top 20. The 20th game on that list was Splatoon, which sold just under 4,500 units that week. Oh, so it sold even less than that in its opening week, which is not good news. I believe Codename Steam, which was released last year, that sold around about the same in this opening week in Japan.
Yeah, but that did a lot better overseas, didn't it?
Slightly, or at least according to Fuji Charts, which I've been told is not a completely reliable site. But yeah, so, like, I think the thing is that, like, critics have been receiving it relatively well, though. They've been saying that's alright. It's not the best, of course, but it's mixed. Positive to mixed. Hold on, let me just check. Yeah, so on Metacritic, it has a score of 65. Which is 65. Nothing more I can say about it. So yeah, I might pick it up. It looks alright. It doesn't look too bad. Blast Ball is quite fun. Or it can be fun, rather. Because I like competitive games, and it can get quite heated. But I'm not too sure. If I want the co-op game, I'd probably get, like, Monster Hunter Generations or something like that. I'd prefer getting something like that over Ultra Pro and Federation Force. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Although, to be fair, Metroid isn't all that popular over in Japan, where it is relatively popular over here in the West. So I think that's something to take into account, but I don't think it will do greatly over here. It will do better, I think, but not all that much. Or not by a considerable amount.
We'll keep an eye on that, I think.
We'll just have to wait and see what happens.
There has been more NX rumors as usual, and we need it to be revealed already. Like, we need the current idea going around is the 13th of September, because that was when the Wii U and the Wii were revealed, or at least that was when the Wii was revealed and Wii U had its direct, I believe. It's Super Mario Brothers' birthday over in Japan that day. 31st this year, and also it has been rumoured to say that it will be shown off before Tokyo Game Show in Japan, which is taking place on the 15th, I believe. So 13th would come in nicely. So I just hope that they talk about it soon, because the only thing that we've gotten, like, official news, not comments from Reggie or the like, the only thing that we get that we have officially on the NX was way back when Nintendo announced their E3 plans, when they said, oh, the next generation of NX, the next generation of Nintendo gaming is the NX and will be coming March 2017. So it's like, we kind of need to know right now. We have like 6 months to go.
And we know nothing.
So it's like, we need to know. Like, so we can just make plans if we're going to buy it or not. Because if they do it too late, then they're not going to get a lot of launch buyers, possibly. I'm not too sure, but
again, I can understand where they might not say stuff so that they don't spoil anything, but at the same time, like you say, it's going to lose a lot of footfall.
You need to keep up the hype a little bit.
People need to be able to save for this as well.
So I think really, and I'm planning on buying a PS4. Well, hopefully, that's not anything definite. But I want to know if, like, if games that are coming to the PS4 are also coming to the NX, because there are a good couple that I want to get on PS4. If I get one, for example, Danganronpa 3, which is coming out in Japan this year, Overwatch, new South Park game, maybe even Sonic Mania. I want to see if if the third parties I want to see are indeed coming to the NX, and if they are, then it kind of makes PS4 redundant, apart from being able to play games with my friends, because everybody else in school has a PS4, and I'm just stuck with a Wii U and 3DS.
Don't say it like that.
I'm not. It's just like,
I'm blessed and gifted with a Wii U and 3DS.
Well, I love my Wii U, but nobody else has a Wii U, so I feel left out.
Sounds a lot anyway, like me.
But the NX may be becoming more like the PS4. Recent sources indicate, or at least sources that don't Nintendo Life, said that the NX will have a share or social button, not unlike PS4's share button, as well as a split D-pad, again, much like the PS4. So, shall we talk about the D-pad first? I'm not too sure what to make of this, because I'm not really too bothered, but yeah.
I'm not really sure what to think of it. I just want to see it, see, like, someone show it and then play a game on like a show floor or in like a Nintendo Direct before I can get any view. Because right now I just don't know.
Fair enough, fair enough. But the other thing as well, the share or social button, I think that's very important, because I think compared out of the three big consoles being Xbox, PlayStation and Nintendo's Wii U, the Wii U is by far the less sociable. Like, you can't, like, Miiverse, well, it can be quite fun at times.
Yeah.
It takes you out of the experience more than it does creating new ones. Like, you have to wait for a good while until it loads, and then until, like, you can actually post your message, so on and so forth. And then hopefully with this social, you can also connect to other, like, social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook, just to say, oh, this is what I did in my game, instead of being it being restricted to just Miiverse. Yeah, so what do you guys make of a potential for a stronger social experience for a Nintendo platform?
I can see it working, especially considering if it's linked to things like Facebook and Twitter, then that could work in a sense of advertisement, to have people see it that don't really know much about it, and then they're like, oh, this seems cool, now I want it. It also makes it, I suppose, easier to share certain screenshots of or stories that you otherwise wouldn't really be able to tell your friends that you normally game with. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it in action.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do it, if they do it similar to Microsoft and Sony. I know PlayStation 4 use the share button on theirs, so see how they implement that.
Finally, just a little thing here. Pokemon Go is possibly going to get the biggest change, I think, in my opinion. It will be adding a new system that will allow you to choose one of your Pokemon as a buddy, and it will allow you to will allow the Pokemon to walk with you as you walk. Sort of similar to Heart Gold and Soul Silver, although it doesn't appear on the map, it just appears on a little icon by your icon in the corner. However, the important thing here is, whilst you walk, you will also gain candy for that evolution line, which is great for just like powering up your Pokemon in general, and also just in case if you have trouble seeing a specific Pokemon, you can just walk around and get candy for it, and then that will help you to evolve it. So I think that's very good for people, possibly in rural areas, who only go out to more urbanized areas once a month and can't catch many rare Pokemon, or at least evolved forms of Pokemon. Well, no, they can.
But it says you're going to cannibalize all those Pokemon just to get some candy.
They can finally get their Gyarados. Freaking 400 magic.
Oh, yeah, that's the other one.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
Who's your buddy Pokemon? Magikarp.
That
sounds so weird.
I'm going to try and get Charizard or something.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, like, I think this is good because, like, Pokemon Go has been struggling for a good while just to improve.
I believe they lost 15 million users recently.
I think so, but even now, like, it's still at 30 million. It's still the most used mobile game, I believe. Which is still good that it still has momentum, even after... it's been out for a month, so it's good to see that it still has momentum for a mobile game. So that's good, and so what I think now is good that they are bringing these updates that will improve the experience, hopefully the tracking system as well. When they updated that, people were just like really annoyed by that. But as it turns out, in San Francisco, basically what it was, that the game tells you what Pokestops to Pokemon appear nearby. And that's how you could use it, but that's only exclusive to San Francisco for now. So hopefully they'll be rolling that out quite soon, and they've promised a lot of other stuff as well. Most importantly, what I want to say is just more Pokemon.
Quilava, we need my Quilava.
Yeah,
Quilava's the best Pokemon.
I want Gen 2 to be added soon, and I also want just less of Rattatas and Pidgeys.
and Drowsies and Spearows.
Well, Spearows I don't mind. They're kind of rare for me. And Drowsies are only common when I go to like London and stuff. But where I live, it's always just like Rattatas and Pidgeys. So I would love to see just like a bit more Pokemon in more rural areas. But still, so I hope that they continue to improve the Pokemon Go experience, because with that they will keep on Pokemon Go players. Right, so have we got any more news stories that we want to quickly mention, or?
Nope.
I think we've covered the major parts, apart from direct, obviously, but yes, I think that's it.
Alright, so I believe with that, that wraps up for this section, so let's move on to the next section. So, this is what have we been playing? Okay, as our guest this time around, what have you been playing?
Lately, the main game that I've been playing is Pokemon Omega Ruby.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. I've been doing a Wonderlock on it together with Seb, the other host of the Mystery Gift podcast.
Could you explain what a Wonderlock is for me? I'm really sorry.
Sure, yeah, of course. A Wonderlock is... Well, I'll start with explaining the basics of a Nuzlocke, which is the basis of a Wonderlock. Throwing all these terms at you right now, but... with a Nuzlocke, you pretty much can only catch the very first Pokemon you encounter in each area. So the first Pokemon you encounter in a patch of grass, or in a city where you don't have grass, like you'd only fish for one Pokemon. And that's all you can catch. If you miss that catch, forget it. You can't catch anything there. Also, if any Pokemon faints, it dies, and you can never use it again for the rest of the game.
That's
the basis of a Nuzlocke. The Wonderlock, though, is something that was made available in Pokemon X and Y, now also in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, where you have this function called the Wonder Trade, where you just put a Pokemon into Wonder Trade, and you get a... And someone else who did the same... You're connected to them and you get a Pokemon back. So you won't know what Pokemon you're getting back until you actually get the Pokemon.
Oh, I see. Right, okay.
Yeah, and every Pokemon that you catch, you have to immediately trade away. And whatever you get back, that's what you have to use. So it is possible to get stuck on your first five Pokemon with a Rattata and a Pidgey and a Weedle and a Scatterbug. While you could also potentially start with Charmander, Squirtle, and Fennekin. Or legendaries. That's rare, awesome. But it can happen.
Yeah, I've only ever got a Fennekin from Wonder Trade once and a Pichu. So it can be used. I may try that version now, actually. That seems more interesting for me, personally. So does that count for the starter? Do you need to trade in your starter as well? Or?
Yeah, we do trade our starter as well. You can generally not immediately use Wonder Trade. So for Omega Ruby's case, I believe you need to wait until you get to Petalburg City, which means you have had at least three routes already, and only then can you trade them away. So up till that point, you can just use your starter, but after that, immediately get rid of it.
Okay.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so what else have you been playing? I see you've put some other games here.
Indeed, yeah. Well, it's summer vacation, and summer vacation, for whatever reason, I just grabbed some of my old games that I used to play and play them quite a lot. And one of the games that I picked up was Metabots for the Game Boy Advance.
I don't think I've heard.
Enjoy watching that. Metabots. Oh, it's amazing, Matt.
Yeah, there's two different kinds of GBA games. You have like regular Metabots and Metabots AX. I'm referring to the regular version. Which is a really, really interesting game, really good story, and the amount of Metabots and combinations you can make in the game, a lot of fun. And only, I suppose, last year I figured out that there are certain quests for really rare metals in the game, so I used some internet guides to figure out how to get that, so I was continuing to do that, train on my Metabots, try some cool new tactics. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Nice.
Nice, and, what else have you been playing then?
Well, there's one more game that I've been playing recently, which is really ever since the Direct, which is Street Pass Slot Racer. I couldn't help but mention that game because I purposely didn't mention it before, because when I saw the new Street Pass games, I was like, okay, yeah, I didn't get the last two, like the zombies and the fishing thing, because I wasn't really excited for them. But then they showed Street Pass Slot Racer, and I was like, I want that.
Yeah, I remember. that was when I first saw it.
Yeah, then for the others, I was like, meh. Although one of them, I believe you shoot out of a cannon and you do something. I don't really remember. I was sort of excited for that one, but especially for Slot Racer. And then they're finished explaining what those five games are. And then they're like, you can get one of two games for free, including Street Pass Slot Racer. So I got the game. It's the only one of the five Street Pass games that I have. And it's just a bit of timing with holding and releasing the A button, but I am having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it's just like oddly fun. But I'm sad that I want more tracks. I think it's only like about six or four tracks.
I'm not entirely sure. I'm not all that far in the game yet.
So I like that now I have a use for my play coins, because only for two you could get a rival to race with. So I thought that was cool. Even now play coins are of use. I haven't really seen much use in games, have they? I believe in Link Between Worlds you could use that to get a hint. But in other games that was pretty much it. It wasn't really used for much else. So it's nice to see that, like, even the new Street Pass games use play coins in an effective way.
I was going to say, play coins are used in Animal Crossing to buy furniture and fortune cookies.
Oh, that's right.
In Tomodachi Life, you can use them to buy certain items when travelers come by.
Ah, forget what I said then. It doesn't
Matthew
have some use.
Gibson.
No, keyword some use. Not a lot. Just some.
Yeah.
All right. Sam, do you want to go next?
I have been carrying on with Bayonetta 2. I'm getting quite far now.
How far are you?
I think I'm up to the point where you find... I think we're close to finding out the truth as to how Bayonetta's mum died in the past. I won't spoil it. That's as far as I'm going to say. But it's good. I really enjoy playing Bayonetta 2. I actually found a copy of Bayonetta, the first one, on its own. Because I was for ages have been looking for it. And I'm like, so I got that for a tenner. So I'm so happy now. I just played the first one.
Is that on the Wii U version?
Yeah, the Wii U version.
Yeah. Right.
I was so happy when I found that. I've finished Super Mario World as well, so
yeah, I saw.
I know that was a quick one. I think it was like 13-14 episodes, so I finished that one quick. I haven't played much of Monster Hunter Generations. I played it a little bit, mainly just to get some more items for armor.
Okay,
but I will eventually get back into that, and I've just about to start a new Let's Play for Super Mario RPG. I've been meaning to do that.
This has kind of caught my attention. I mean, I may need to get it eventually.
I'm going to do a Let's Play on it, so you can see the first bit and we'll follow the adventure as we go. I mean, it's new to me because I never played it and I wanted to play it, and I thought, what better way to play it than do it for a Let's Play? So
fair enough.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've seen like videos of it, and I'm just like, this looks amazing.
I've really just seen a few different parts of the game. I know one boss has a theme that's the same as a theme in Final Fantasy IV, and I know that there's an Easter egg with Link and Samus, but that's about it I know of the game. So I'm really interested in it. So I think I'll watch that Let's Play.
Yeah, it's the developers of they used to be called Square, but it's obviously Square Enix now. But yes, it's those guys which collaborate with Nintendo to make that game. So that's awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to see how this goes.
If I was to play it, it'd be to see if Geno is indeed to be worthy of going to Smash Bros. Because I've heard a lot of people asking for Juno to be in Smash Bros. And it's like, why? It's a bloody puppet. Just accept your Mii costume and be done with it.
It's a puppet. Right.
Well, they took Isaac from Golden Sun completely out, even from his assist trophy part of the game.
That
so
was
throw
weird.
Genos in. I was really unhappy about that.
I don't know why he did that. But there is a music from Golden Sun, I believe, in the Northwest stage, or in the Wii U version. I believe so. Which is odd.
Isaac for Smash.
I wouldn't mind Isaac, to be fair. I wouldn't mind Isaac. I'm just waiting.
He's the main guy, so if there's any character from Golden Sun that's going to be in there, it's Isaac.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm. I think Jason used to say Isaac for Smash, and
it was so funny with his.
I could see he had a good point with that.
That's true, but it was so funny when we got Corrin instead of Isaac. That was funny. I love Corrin though in Smash. And speaking of Corrin,
yeah, well, you would. It's Fire Emblem, isn't it?
Speaking of which, franchise. I've been playing Fire Emblem Fates Conquest as well. I can't remember where I was. Oh, hold on. I think you have one more game to talk about here, Sam. So,
Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
Well, I've finally managed to get to level 20. And I think I've caught about 80, 90 Pokemon now.
Wow.
So I'm getting there.
So you're getting
but
there.
But I still want those God darn Eevees. They're so hard to find.
I mean,
it makes me cry. I just want my Jolteon.
I've recently been finding more Eevees like around my area, so that's alright.
Yeah, they did change the spawn rates, but I'm still a bit like, I want more Eevees. Maybe I have to make it my buddy and like get more Eevees.
Yeah, that's true.
Keep the ones I've got and evolve them.
I always play Pokemon Go, but I did go out of my way once to play it for about an hour and a half throughout the village. But that was it. That was all I did to like go out my way. Apart from that, when I go out, I use it, but that's about it. But yeah, so as for what I've been playing, Fire Emblem Fates Conquest, as I said, I've reached the final stage, and oh my god, it is so hard. Like unbelievably, because I recently bought the DLC with an eShop voucher, which I'll talk about where I got that in a bit. And I bought the DLC so I could. I just wanted to play the DLC, but with it, I also played the stage where I could get a lot of gold from it, as well as so I could buy like new weapons, like a Brave Axe, silver stuff for some units. But I may need to play the one where you could get a lot of experience from, because I think I still need that like final push for some units for XP. But sadly, what it does is that basically it's the final fight, let's say, is acts as the epilogue to the game. And I think this is a far better epilogue, far more, to be honest, I didn't expect it. I completely forgot about the character that you actually have to fight in the end. But basically, so if I had to quit that, you can't even save, like, normally. You'd have to do a battle save whilst in there. Whereas all the other chapters, you could just save before the match. Not the match, before the fight. If you don't save it during battle or something like that, you have to start back from chapter 27, all the way back from there, which was the chapter beforehand, basically. But it's still good. I think if I had to pick between the two, I think I preferred Conquest, because I think the story was a bit more unique. That's all I can say. I think the path was a bit more unique, but I've just been treating it as one whole experience. Hopefully, I could just finish it soon, because I want to get onto Revelations.
Yes, Revelations is the sort of like the extra part, isn't it? Or
Revelation is another path. It is shorter, but is when you don't pick a side. So in Battlefront, you choose to join Hoshido, which is the kingdom you were originally born into. But in Conquest, you choose to side with Nor, which is the kingdom that you grew up in because you were kidnapped at a young age. So you grew up with all these your Norian siblings, siblings being used lightly. But then early on in the game, you encounter your Hoshido family and then spend some time in there as well. And then eventually get to the point where you choose. So in Birthright, the option is to choose the Birthright path. But you can choose to purchase Conquest or Revelations from the screen there. But in the Special Edition, which I sadly didn't get, or wasn't able to, rather. What was it? You could just choose from all three right from the get-go.
Right.
Which is... I am looking to get the special edition myself because I just want all paths possible. I just haven't really looked into it much.
I'd recommend you just get Birthright on its own because the special editions are bloody expensive. Like on Amazon, they're like 100 quid. So you're basically paying for all three paths and 30 quid for an art book. Basically, I'd love the art book, I would love that, but 100 quid for all that, not really. Although I think the Token Wise Sessions special edition is selling for far more, not a whole lot more, but considerably more, I'd say. But yeah, I'd recommend go with Birthright first because that's the easiest of the paths, I'd say, because, well, as I said, it is easy in both difficulty and the fact that you can replay previous stages as well, just to like train up your units and so on and so forth. Whereas in Conquest, you cannot replay older stages, so the only way you can level up or play maps for that matter is whether you progress through the story or if you get prologues, for example, when you get children, or if your castle is invaded. So I'm interested to see what Revelation has an offer in terms of the units, the weapons, and the maps as well. But so far, I think Conquest is the better game. But I'd still recommend Birthright, and I'd go say get Revelation as well because that seems to be more for good Fire Emblem Fate stuff. Aside from that, one game that I've picked up recently, or picked up playing again rather, is Affordable Space Adventures. Because I got because I got this with the Humble Bundle a good while back. And it's good. It's really good stuff. I've been playing it more often. Basically what happens is that you control this little spaceship and you work your way through through various levels, and it's basically like a puzzle game, so I'm glad that it isn't a puzzle platformer, it's just like a puzzle game in general, which, like, there are no shortage of those kinds, but it's just nice to see a game like that, being able to play a game like that. And basically, you as you progress through each level, which you tackle on one after the other. The loading screens are a bit of a problem, but they're not too much. But anyway, as you progress, you eventually get access to more options for your ship. So, for example, you may get you start off with the fuel engine, but you may need to switch to the electric engine to make use of its abilities, or you may need to select a specific type of landing gears if you need to stick to a surface and carry a box, or if you need to slide past, if you need to slide, just select the sliding gear. And the other thing as well is that there are enemies in the game, and with this it acts almost like a stealth game, rather. So what happens is that you scan the enemies and you get its sort of like its radar, like it's sorry, I'm having trouble for words today, as usual, but for now, I'm not sure why. Basically, as a raider, so if you go in that raider, the enemies will attack you and so on, as you may expect. However, they may not react, and what I mean by that is you have three things the enemies can sense. You have sound, heat, and electricity. So, for example, if and they all appear on the gamepad, which I think is made of good use. So you see on the gamepad those three dials. Let's say when you scan an enemy, it shows the limit at which you could use that gauge before the enemies detect you and then go on to shoot you. So say if the limit is very low for heat, you may need to change to your electric engine, therefore not use heat. Another one may be very sensitive to sound, so you can't really produce much sound. You may need to turn your engine off, but before that you may need to put on your slide lander, let's say, and go as fast as you can before turning your engine off and sliding past the enemy before turning it back on and going forth again. So it's a really clever game, I have to say. It's if you like puzzles, this is one that you definitely want to get. Makes good use of the gamepad as well, I have to say. Just being able to just control the levels at which you could use stuff like the mass generator or the thrust, just by a simple touch of the gamepad, it just feels good. There's not really much I can say about it, but I think I am nearing the end, but I am stuck on one bit. But yeah, it's a good game, I highly recommend it. I think it's around about a tenner. So
it does sound interesting. I can't say I've ever heard about
really
it,
good,
but
yeah.
I'll look into it.
Well, I think it was it may have won awards, but it's definitely been nominated for a good amount of awards. I think for last year's Golden Joysticks, it was nominated for an innovation award for some innovative use of the gamepad, which I wouldn't entirely agree with, but it does make good use of the gamepad, I have to say. But beating even the new 3DS's new form of stereoscopic 3D, where it tracks your head and adjusts 3D accordingly, or any form of virtual reality, the prize for innovation of the year went to first person view in GTA 5. And the other thing
I like it, but
yeah, I was gonna write an article about that, but then too much time passed, so I missed the opportunity to write about it. But I'm just mad. I'm still am, but don't know why. I should let it go. Anyway, the next one is not a game as such, but an event, because I went to last week. I went to DS London's 200th event, which was the DS London Nintendo Championships. This was in celebration of both its 200th event and its 10-year anniversary, which is just amazing. They're the longest Street Pass group around. The longest, I would then say strongest, although they are my favourite. They, I wouldn't say strongest, that's up to opinion, but they are the longest going. Sorry for that confusion, and me unnecessarily rambling on. Anyway, but yeah, it was a really good event. I had a lot of fun. I came second, which is good, because what it was is that it was very much like the Nintendo World Championships from E3 2015. Sadly, we didn't get a lot. The players didn't max out at 32, so we did have a bit of shortage. So what happened? Just my journey, let's say. So we all started out in the just in the open round, overground rather. I managed to get through that round, which was Super Smash Brothers, so I moved on to the next overground one, Meanwhile, in the underground, it was Chattris DS. And then in the next overground one, it was Golden Eye for the 64. I didn't manage to kill anyone in my set, so I was completely just destroyed. Even though Richard Stokesy, who's a good friend of the show, he managed to beat me and the other contender without dying at all. So we had to do we had to do a tiebreaker versus the five kills between me and him, and even then I just couldn't do a single thing. But even though I was completely rubbish at it, I still had a good time. I don't know why. Like, I was always laughing. It was still fun. And I was making a complete fool of myself, so I felt in my prime. And then I had to go down to the loser's side, which was Luigi's Mansion 2. And what happened here, we had to play the multiplayer mode, which was the tower thing. I just won it by about a couple of points. Which made me very happy, because I thought the other guy was like just demoing us, showing us what to do, because I've forgotten how to play. But thankfully I still seem to have it, as I managed to progress to the next underground. Meanwhile in the overground, actually here's a funny thing. What it was is that before the event, the DS London showed various hints at what each round would be. For example, for the hint of GoldenEye, they showed the Rareware logo. So people would have guessed either GoldenEye or Diddy Kong's Racing, or something like that. The hint for the next overground was the number 8. And Lee Mario Moore. Kart? Yeah, so Lee Moore, what he did, what he always did was a little video, just to bring up the hype for each game. And then the Mario Kart 8 theme was playing, and we were like, yes, of course. And the music stopped, and then the title for Mario Party 8 came up, and we were all like, no! Like, yes! We were just like, like, I was like, both, like, in shock, but I was like, it was a good kind of surprise.
That's good.
It was such a troll, but it was just so good. I was not expecting that. But I didn't manage to play Mario Party 8 that time, because I was still in the underground. Meanwhile, in the underground, we had to play Kirby Fighter, which is the minigame from Triple Deluxe. I was the only one out of the four that played both Kirby... Kirby Triple Deluxe or Kirby Planet Robobot, especially Planet Robobot, so I had the Kirby skills down hat. I managed to win all three games without taking a single loss, so I felt a bit cheesy, but I was so just glad that I managed to make it through. And then in the overground, overground it was Street Fighter 2 for the SNES. And which Jack was able to guess right, actually. So props to him. But, and then in the underground, probably the most intense was Brain Training.
What?
So the clue for this one was Touch Generations. And Philippe was saying that, like, no matter how good at video games, good at video games, it won't help you for this next game. And I was like, oh, so it's gotta be Brain Training then. So I was kind of happy that, like, it was kind of Brain Training, because maths is kind of my forte, like, in terms of, like, school and stuff. It was, like, very intense. Like, we had it, because previously all the underground games were on DS, Brain Training was no different, but it, they were always held away from the main stage, where there were home consoles being set up for the main world tournament. So for the Brain Training, all four of us in the underground were put up on the main stage, and it was like a very tense atmosphere. Lee was asking everybody to be quiet. Oh, I was just like so intense, just being able to, like, because I feel like a part of me had like a lot of pride going on me, because apart from games, maths is pretty much the only thing going for me in this world. So there was like a lot of pressure on me just to like try and do well with this maths. Basically, what it was a race to complete 30 calculations as fast as possible. And in the first round, I believe I came third. And Richard took first place that time with a score of 41 seconds. I came third with 47. So that was just like amazing. And I thought, oh, Richard's got this in the bag. I want to be able to like contend. And the next one, I somehow managed to beat that time with 40 seconds, which is just like, whoa, I was not expecting that to come first either. And somehow Richard got out that round, which really surprised me. And then the final dead heat came, and just like the satisfaction on my face when I managed to come first. Only by a second, I believe, in the final round. I'm not too sure. But just like to win at that point was pretty satisfying, I'd say. But yeah, brain training was probably the most tense. So after getting out of the underground in the second round, I managed to make all my way through the underground and back up into the overground for the semi-finals, which was, as Lee put it, time to pair up. It was Mario Kart Double Dash, and I believe I teamed up with this person called Sheldon. He brought his own GameCube controller, so I was thinking in my head, okay, he's brought his own GameCube controller, I think I could trust him to be my partner. So I feel like a bit guilty, like, not to trust him. Because I didn't know Gary from Monster Hunter Offline was there. I didn't know he was in the semi-finals with me. If I knew that, then maybe I would have gone with him. But I just saw Sheldon and was like, okay, right, I'm going with you. You clearly know what you're doing if you brought your own GameCube controller. And it was really good. I just trusted him with the driving, and now I was just doing the items in the back and just like helping him with the drifting. So I feel like I just was just like lagging on there, just like he was just carrying me all the way through. And when I drove in the final race, I was just complete shite. But yeah, it was still good fun. We still had a good laugh with it. And so was me and Sheldon, who I met at my first ever Street Pass event, funnily enough, way back at the end of 2014. And we had to play the final game, which I should have seen coming. It was Balloon Fight for the NES, which is a favourite for Lee, at least. We had to play the Endless Mode. And Sheldon was up first. He sadly didn't perform all that well. And then I managed to get a score above 10,000. And then, basically how it worked was that Sheldon would do his free goes to try and get a high score. And then I would do my free goes to try and get a high score. If I beat his high score, then it went back to Sheldon and his free goes. And so on and so forth. So I was able to set a high score. And then, Sheldon, when he went, his first go wasn't able to do well either. Second go, no either. But I tried helping him because he seemed to be having a bit of trouble, so I wanted it to like go to satisfaction that I was able to play with him doing his best. Well, that is if I was to win, which sadly I didn't, because he was on his final go able to beat my high score, and then I wasn't able to beat his, so I was sadly I wasn't able to win the whole thing. But out of it, I got a £20 eShop voucher, as well as a sweet Mario cushion, which is quite cool. But the grand prize was a Nintendo Entertainment System Mini. So I thought that was quite a fitting prize for the grand prize winner. So part of me regrets that like I did tell him how to play, so I could have got them this mini, but then the other part is saying, no, you did good, you made another person happy. That's all you could do.
Yeah, does show great sportsmanship. So good job.
Matt, the Good Samaritan.
You said that like yesterday as well for our super
podcast. Yeah, it was going to be both.
But yeah, So this will come into the next section as well, but just shout out to DS London for just for one thing, just congratulations on the landmarks and both the 10th anniversary and as well as the 200th event. Here's to many more. Hopefully I can come to them more often. But as well as the fact that it was just a great event in general. Like, it was just such a nice atmosphere. The venue was quite great as well. But yeah, it was just like really nice. There's no other way I could say it. Yeah, so sorry for rambling on a bit too much there. Yeah, so I believe that wraps up, unless anybody has other games they want to talk about.
No, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Alright, nice.
We're good.
Good. So that wraps up for this section, so let's move on to the next section. So this is our final section of the podcast now, which has been unimaginably quite quick, by our standards at least. Which is just weird, because normally we go on for 2 hours, but right now we're at 1 hour, so hopefully we won't stretch it too long and just jinx ourselves, but just to see. So of course this is our shout out section now. Pardon me. So okay, do you have any shout outs aside from the podcast which you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, I do have one shout out. I wanna give a shout out to the YouTuber Smooth McGroove. He does a bunch of a cappella versions of many different video game tunes. Like Nintendo and non-Nintendo. But it's especially the Nintendo ones. His Zelda, his Pokemon, whatever it is that I especially like. And I recall when I first heard the Route 1 theme from Pokemon, that I just had that play on repeat for a long time for the entire day. I loved it so much.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, the amount of reach he has in his voice as well. Like, he has quite a deep voice, and he can go high.
He can go high. Oh, he is very talented at what he does.
Yeah.
If you like music, I would recommend Insane in the Rain Music as well. He does amazing jazz covers, which is great. But both of those are probably my favourite video game music artists. So I'd say I recommend Insane in the Rain Music to you. Any more you want to shout out?
For the moment, that's it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Sam, do you want to go first, Matt, or should I?
See, we always had this, like, just, like, stalemate of who wants to go first. We always get one of those.
Oh, fine. I will go first.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, there once was a Pokemon. Sam goes first.
Yep. I'll give a shout out to all the Street Pass groups, and to anybody who is unsure or feeling not sure about Street Pass. Like, look up on the Street Pass UK website. It's well worth a look. You can find local Street Pass groups, get to go to a gaming event, meet loads of awesome people, and just have a good time playing games. So yeah, please check it out. There is also the Street Pass UK podcast as well, which is hosted by Neil Maker and Marty Bennett. So yeah, check that out as well.
I also recommend like checking out Street Pass UK, because I remember going to my Street Pass event. It's I don't go out of the house that much, so it is good to just like get out of the house, meet some like-minded people, and just have fun playing Nintendo games. I think I just like really enjoy that. I go to the Street Pass London and DS London events. Street Pass South End, I don't believe they've had one for a good while. I used to go to those ones as well, but it doesn't seem they've had one in a good while. Which is quite sad. But yeah, I'm mainly to see if I could go to Monster Hunter Offline. if I get a Monsanto game, which I may do, I'm not too sure. But yeah, just like following on from Sam, you know, definitely check out if there are any street pass communities near you. As for me,
what about you, Mr. Gibson?
As for me, of course, as I said, shout out to DS London. Just in general, the podcast as well. I still need to give a listen in on the latest episode. But on the previous episode, they had the bit where I talked to JJ about their event back in May. So it's cool finally seeing that. But yeah, they're another good podcast. Lovely people. As well as just today, Game Explained uploaded their 2-hour analysis video on The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I've only gone about an hour through, and it is very thorough. Like, it is some good stuff. It goes through some plot details, and just like use in general. It's just like very well done so far, and I will be doing an article on it because Derek said that would be cool to get a lot of articles about it. So I was like, you know what, I'll pitch in. But I was going to do an article. I thought it is deserving because Andre's put in 2 months of work into this, which is just like amazing. Like, game and just Game Explained in general, like, they're really great guys. Definitely the best in the business in terms of like video game content on YouTube. Just like lovely people, from what I've seen anyway. Not first hand experience, sadly, but definitely check them out if you haven't. And then just finally here, I did, if you are somewhat interested in checking out my reaction to the Nintendo 3DS Direct recently, it is up on my YouTube channel, which is Ace Gibbo, quite simply. It's not great. All these are great setup. It's me, and you can hear the audio from the Direct, but there's no video of the Direct because I'm not sure how to do that yet. But yeah, so check that out if you do want to. If you wanna, I'm not too sure. But yeah, just shout out to a video up on there. Right, so I believe that is it for shout out sections. Right. I believe we should just say where everybody can find us. So, okay, where can people find you?
People can find me on YouTube. Alco193, I upload daily videos there. And on Facebook, Alco193. And on Twitter, surprise, surprise,
Alco193. Sam, do you want to go?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at samspade_UK. For my YouTube, I'm both on Facebook and Twitter as samspadegaming, and also samspadegaming on YouTube.
And you can find me on Twitter at AceGibbo. You can find me on YouTube with the name AceGibbo. I may start doing more video game channels since I've now got TV in my room, which is very exciting for me. So hopefully I may be able to do more videos, but in between having to read books for English coursework and doing a personal statement, I'm not too sure if I'll have that much free time, but we shall see. And you can also find me writing articles for FijiTribune.com, which we'll talk about in just a bit. Right, just got some things to say in terms of the podcast. The Nintendo Podcast System is part of VGTribune.com, a site dedicated to video games with writers and people like Matthew Williams and the Nintendo Dads. You can find us on social media too, with a Facebook and Twitter handle being NPodcastSystem. The show can be found on YouTube, iTunes and Podomatic, and our email is NintendoPodcastSystem@gmail.com. If you have any burning questions or anything of the like for us. Right, we're almost done here, but just to say a massive thanks to LK for coming on the podcast, and definitely check out Mystery Gift Podcast. They are another great Nintendo-themed podcast, and if you are in the need for another podcast to talk about anime, definitely check out the Mystery Gift podcast.
And speaking of anime, I finally came up with a name for that anime we'll be watching for the next one.
Oh, okay. What is it then?
Higurashi no Naku Koro ni, which I haven't watched, Seb has, and supposedly it's a 26 episode of pure horror, and he's forcing me to watch it in the dark.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
No.
This is horrible.
I just like slice of life anime and stuff like that. That's pretty much. But I am watching Danganronpa, so that's the closest. Danganronpa 3, rather. That anime is quite good. But that's the closest to gory anime that I'll probably ever get. But yeah, so just finally, as we wrap up here, okay, what is the ending for this episode?
Ooh, the ending for this episode is a final boss theme from Mario Party 3. Do you remember that? Mario Party 3 actually had a final boss. The theme is called Stardust Battle.
Ooh. I've always wanted to play, like, the old Mario Parties. Like, I really want to play them someday. And, of course, not get blisters on my palms, but... Anyway. So that wraps it up for... Well, actually, I just want to say, like... One, this is episode 30, which is another 10 landmark. Which is quite good. And also the fact that this may be... Well, no, I think the... shortest episode apart from this was, what was it? When I wasn't here, when I was in Ireland, and it was Jack, Sam, and Jason. That was somehow under an hour, which is unthinkable of in terms of Nintendo Podcast System standards. So yeah, this has been relatively shorter episode, but as the saying goes, short and sweet. Again, massive thanks to OK for coming on to the show and talking Nintendo with us. And all that's left for me to say is I hope you enjoyed listening to Nintendo Podcast System, and happy gaming!
Happy gaming!
Happy gaming!